Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Your regular financial contributions make it possible for Beth Emmanuel to make D. Thomas Lancaster's weekly sermons available online. We genuinely appreciate your support and hope that you are blessed by these teachings. Feel free to download these audio files and share them with your friends and family. Please consider joining Beth Emmanuel's extended virtual family and support our efforts for the kingdom with a gift by clicking on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
A couple days ago, when we on the first day of Sukkot, we were trying to figure out if we should take this literally or not. This water flowing out of Jerusalem, whether we should be taking this literally or not. It's hard for me to take it literally. To imagine a fresh, dead sea is really hard, really, really hard to imagine. But here's an interesting thing I learned while studying John this year, John chapter 21. The numerical value of the word En-Gedi, the gematria of the word En-Gedi, as it says, fishermen will stand beside the sea from En-Gedi, the numerical value of the word En-Gedi is 17. The numerical value of the word Ein-Eglayim, the gematria, is 153. Now, coincidentally, 17 is the triangular root of 153. And coincidentally, the Hebrew word Gedi in En-Gedi is the 153rd word in Ezekiel. And when the master's disciples, the fishers of men, cast their nets on the 17th day of the Omer, 17th day after the resurrection, they netted 153 fish in the miraculous catch that's reported in John 21. The prophecy continues, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. Who knows why? On the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Well, because that's a big industry in Israel, I suppose. It's like, you know, where are you going to get your Ahava products after this river of life starts flowing into the Dead Sea, right? But on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. They will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the Mikdash, from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, their leaves for healing. So a few days ago, on the first day of Sukkot this year, I was very pleased to share with you that which Hashem in His kindness revealed to me regarding the four species and the river of life, the water that flows out from Messianic Jerusalem. We were just speaking about this Thursday morning. And in New Jerusalem of the world to come, the angel shows John a river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God through the middle of the street of the city, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, each yielding its fruit each month. And it says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And I understand this fruit now better than I've ever understood it before. I believe the fruit is the Arba Minim. It is the four species. We have the fruit. We have the leaves. What else in the year do we take fruit and leaves and make a big deal out of them before Hashem? So we were learning some deep mysticism together on Thursday morning, if you're here. Rather than just let the matter drop, I want to continue to discuss it with you a little bit today. I don't know how much. If I start to go too long, you could signal me with lots of yawns or something like that. But I want to take another run at this and see if I can communicate the concept any better. I'm starting to see the bigger picture, and I want to color it in. So these are things I never understood before, you know? I've never understood the waving of the four species. I just do it. You know, up, down, right, left. Just do it, you know? I've never understood the prophecies of the river of life or even the master's sayings about the water of life. I'm more like the Samaritan woman's like, oh, give me some of that water so I never get thirsty again. So I don't have to keep coming here to this well. I've always seen that these things are all connected, but I've never really seen the connections. And then, you know, Hashem enlightened my eyes to see a connection between these things. So I'm really excited about it. This is what I'm interested in right now. Therefore, you must be too. But it all hangs on one important prophecy, the same prophecy which is written across the top of our Aron Kodesh, our holy ark, Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, which you can find in Isaiah chapter 2, where we read those words, for out of Zion will go forth the Torah. Isaiah chapter 2 is a Sukkot passage. You find it on page 567 of the ESV Pew Bible. Isaiah 2, where it says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. There you'll get that watershed effect. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths. Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, for out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Then he shall judge between the nations. He shall decide disputes for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. And if you go on much further in the passage, if you go on, you read further in these early chapters of Isaiah, he'll speak about Hashem creating a canopy over Jerusalem and a sukkah over the city, a cloud of glory. The cloud of glory returns. But the idea is that these are images of the Messianic era, the kingdom of heaven, when the Torah will go forth from Zion. And what is the Torah? What is the Torah? It's, you know, what does it mean the Torah will go forth from Zion? The Torah is the knowledge of the Lord, to know God. No man will say to his neighbor in that day, know the Lord. They'll all know me from the least to the greatest. And in that day, like I said on Thursday, there will be no more polytheism. There will be no more idolatry, no false religions, no atheists, no agnostics. The nations will flow to Zion. The knowledge of God will flow out of Zion to all peoples. So, as I was preparing for the first day of Sukkot, I read this Kabbalistic meditation in the Machzor, in the prayer book for Sukkot, about the meaning of the four species. And you remember, I read these words. It says, when I wave the four species, may an abundant outpouring of blessings flow from the knowledge of the Most High, to the abode of the tabernacle, to the prepared place of the house of our God. And I understood the connection. It's like, it's beautiful. The mystics visualize the waving of the four species as it accompanying a spiritual water libation ceremony. It reminds me of when Paul Levertov, reading the Zohar, translating the Zohar, he said, it just makes me realize what a clod I am. I'm going forward, back, you know, up, down, right. And the mystics are like, they're in some other place. They see, they're at the altar in the heavenly tabernacle where the water is coming out from the threshold and pouring down, and they're like waving. They're being the tree of life beside that river, waving the fruit and the leaves for the healing of the nation. And I'm here. But just as the people, you know, the idea is that in the days of the Holy Temple, in the days of the Master, and Yeshua did this, and the disciples did this. They stood around the altar. They made a circle around the altar, just like we make a circle around the Bima. And they sang Hosanna, 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 while the priest was pouring out the water over the altar. And this was happening. And so the mystics are saying, they're imagining the same process happening in a spiritual sense. And remember, I read, Abarbanel explains it this way. He said, this prophecy about Ezekiel and the water flowing out, and from the temple. He said, the belief in God and in his Torah will flow forth from Jerusalem to the entire world as a spring flows from its source. So Abarbanel said, it's not literal water. If all you're thinking of is water, oh, I can't wait, that's going to be nice, you know, if we've got a water crisis in the Middle East, it'll be good to have another spring open. That's not the point. The point is that this is the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Hashem going forth from Messianic Jerusalem. You know, Delitzsch has a comment on this. He says that the water flowing from Zion is a figurative representation of the salvation and blessings which will flow out of Jerusalem, the center of the kingdom of God, over the Holy Land, and produce vigorous life on every hand. As the Master says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And all of this is relevant to the gospel portion we heard today, you know, in John. If you want to see this in the Delitzsch Hebrew English Gospels, you can find it on page 361, John chapter 7, 37. Where it says, on the last great day of the festival, Yeshua stood and called out, saying, and so this festival is Sukkot. The context is the Hoshanas and the water pouring ceremony. It says, he stood and called out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. One who believes in me, as the word is written, from his belly will flow rivers of living water. That's how the Delitzsch Hebrew renders it. But, you know, this is a difficult passage to translate. The punctuation and construction of the phrasing of the Greek is a matter of debate. And so many early church fathers, including Origen, understood it to mean that the believer, it's the believer who drinks from the Messiah, who will become the source of living water himself. So, in other words, I go to Messiah, drink from the living water of the Messiah, and then I am a source of living water. What living water's flowing out from me. That's one way that you can understand the passage. Other early church fathers read the phrases as a couplet, like poetry, answering to the messianic prophecy, Isaiah 55:1, that says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And so in that reading, if it's a couplet, if the Greek should be read as poetry, then the Master says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and let him drink who believes in me. So in this reading, if you adopt that poetry reading, that couplet reading, then the part that follows is not on his lips at all. The rest of the text is from John, who brings a proof text to explain what the Master was saying. And this makes the most sense to me, that Yeshua stands up in the temple and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and let him drink who believes in me. And then John goes on to say, as the word is written, from his belly will flow rivers of living water. Does that make sense? The image of the living water springing up from within the Messiah, from his belly, it's flowing then from his belly, the living water, not from mine, not from yours. But the image comes from Isaiah 12:3, which is the whole ritual of the water pouring is named after Isaiah 12:3. Isaiah 12:3, which is the Mayim song, with great joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. There's only one problem with this interpretation. When you cite and say, as it is written, you should have a specific passage in mind and not just be making things up. We have searched the whole scripture and we cannot find any place that says rivers of living water will flow from his belly. There is no such as it is written. It's a bad proof text, I guess you could say. Or perhaps not. What if It's a targum, a Greek targum on a text, so a paraphrase. It's a paraphrase of a text. And if it's a paraphrase of a text, what if the text was Zechariah 14:8, which we learned a couple days ago, where it said, "And in that day living waters will flow out of Jerusalem." Or what if it's a targum on Ezekiel 47:1, water was flowing out from under the threshold of the house? Because that pronoun is it works the same in Greek as it works in Hebrew. It's ambiguous, the pronoun. Rivers of living water will flow out from his belly, maybe. Or how about its belly? Its center. So my suggestion is that John is using, he's saying, as it is written in so many prophecies, rivers of living water will flow out from it, from Jerusalem, from the midst of it. And so he's referring to the temple. And he can be referring to the Messiah at the same time as referring to the temple, because the Master even says earlier in John, he makes a reference to, "I'll destroy this temple and raise it up again." And then he says, John comments and says, he was speaking of his body. They didn't understand he was speaking of his body. But he was also speaking literally of the holy temple. So it can go both ways. It can go both ways. But if this is the case, then this reconstruction that I'm offering you should read like this. "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and let him drink who believes in me. As the scripture said, from the temple's belly will flow rivers of living water.'" From the center of the temple will flow rivers of living water. And then it goes on to say, he said this about the Spirit, that those who believed in him would receive, because the Holy Spirit was not given before Yeshua was glorified. As I told you a few days ago, the sages saw the water libation ceremony that happened at Sukkot as symbolizing the endowment of the Holy Spirit. In the Jerusalem Talmud, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, "Why did they call it the house of the water drawing? Because from there they drew the Holy Spirit." It was from there that they drew the Ruach HaKodesh. As it says in Isaiah 12:3, "Therefore you will draw water from the wells of Yeshua, of salvation." So when John says that the Spirit hasn't been given, you know, he's not referring to, he doesn't mean the Spirit of God has never been active in Israel before. We know that that's not the case. Instead, he's referring to two specific eschatological, that means end times promises. Number one, the return of the Shekinah, and number two, the outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh, predicted by the prophets for the Messianic era. The Spirit had not yet been given. We're still waiting for that day of redemption. So according to the sages, you know, the Shekinah had never, the dwelling presence of God had never rested on the second temple like it did on the first. And that's something we're still waiting for. How can the water, which is the Spirit, flow out from the temple if the Shekinah, if the dwelling presence of Hashem, isn't on that temple? And the other thing we're waiting for is that the Shekinah, the dwelling presence of Hashem, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, should be poured out on all human beings, so that no one needs to be told, "Know ye the Lord," because they'll all know me from the least to the greatest. This is the big vision. This is what we're laboring for. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the whole point. You know, we used to think the whole point was just not going to hell. It's such a bigger picture. It's a universal salvation that we're working towards, the salvation of the species. And we're waving these four species, I read in the Maksor this Kabbalistic blessing. It said, "For it is my intention to unify the name of the Holy One, blessed be He, with His Shekinah, with His dwelling presence. Messiah brings us the water from Zion. This is why he can say, he who drinks that of this water will never thirst again. Where does he get this water? He gets this water from the kingdom. He gets this water from the Messianic era. You know, what is this? This tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season. It doesn't wither. All that he does prospers. What does this mean in practical terms? It means that man desires, his soul is thirsty for God, for the knowledge of God. A human being longs for true transcendence. He longs to be part, she longs to be part of something other than himself or herself, something bigger, something greater, to be swept up in a river that empties into the sea, and to be lost inside that greater consciousness, which is the all in all. I know, I'm not making any sense. I am stammering. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he knows the Lord. We're living, working for, longing for, irrigating this world. We're irrigating. We're borrowing water. We're schlepping it in buckets. You know, we're schlepping buckets from that river of life that flows out of Messianic Jerusalem, trying to irrigate little patches in this current age. We're taking from the water that flows from the supernal temple, which is the knowledge of God, and we're turning bitter water sweet.
Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim.